There are conditions that you have to fulfill when you are fasting. So the first of them is a niyyah. You have to have the correct intention. Meaning the night before, you have to have an intention in your mind that you are going to fast the next day. However, the fuqaha, they differentiate between a fard fasting and a nafal fast. So the obligatory fasting, you have to have a niyyah the night before. Like the fasting of Ramadan. You have to know that tomorrow it is Ramadan and tomorrow I will be fasting. You have to have this in your heart. The nafal fasting, the intentional fasting, you don't have to have any intention. Meaning, a person went to sleep at night and he had no intention to fast the next morning. He woke up for Fajr, prayed Fajr, didn't eat or drink anything and went back to sleep. And then he woke up at Dhuhr time. And he has no intention to fast. But he hasn't eaten or drank anything. Then he asks at home, is there anything prepared? Is there any food at home? And they say there's nothing prepared and there's no food at home. We have to go do the shopping. So he thinks to himself, I've only got a few hours left till Maghrib. And I haven't eaten or drunk anything. I may as well fast for the sake of Allah. This is permitted. As long as it is a nafal voluntary fast. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the mothers of the believers, they narrate that he would wake up in the morning and he would ask his family, is there any food? And they would say, there is no food at home. And therefore he would fast. And conversely, sometimes he would be fasting a nafal fast and food would be gifted to the family and he would break his fast. So both cases are permitted when it comes to a nafal, voluntary fast. However, when it's an obligatory fast, you have to have the niyyah the night before. And this is why Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, مَنْ لَمْ يُجْمِعْ النِّيَّةَ قَبْلَ اللَّيْلِ فَلَا صِيَامَ لَهُ. That whoever does not have the intention of fasting the night before, there is no fasting for that person. This is the obligatory fasting. Also, from the conditions of a fast being valid is that a woman has to be free from her monthly bleeding or postnatal bleeding, i.e. bleeding after childbirth. So a woman who is going through her monthly bleeding or she's bleeding due to childbirth, postnatal, then she doesn't fast. And if she did fast on those days, that fast is not accepted from her. And she simply has to make up that fast at a later stage. And Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كُنَّا نَحِيدُ فِي أَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. That during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we used to bleed the monthly bleeding. فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصِّيَامِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. And we were ordered to make up the fasts later on, but we were not ordered to make up the prayers. So a woman who is bleeding her monthly periods, or she's bleeding due to childbirth, she doesn't fast and neither does she pray for those days. And this is from the mercy of Islam upon her. However, later on, when she stopped bleeding, she makes up the fast, but she doesn't need to make up the salawat. What about a person who wakes up in a state of major impurity, janaba? For example, due to a wet dream at night, or due to marital relations with his wife, or the wife with her husband, and they wake up in the morning upon the state of janaba, and there isn't enough time for them to make al-ghusl. At-tahara and wudu, purification and wudu, are not a condition of fasting. Meaning a person can fast without wudu, and a person can even fast if they are in the state of janaba, major impurity. And the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they narrate that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam كان يقوم من الليل بالجنابة. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to wake up from his at night or in the morning in a state of janaba. And then he would fast, and then he would make ghusl for the fajr prayer, and he would not make qadha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would begin his fasting even though he was in a state of janaba. And then, of course, for the Fajr prayer, he would make al-ghusl and then pray the Fajr prayer. So being in a state of wudu or being in tahara is not a condition for song, except in the case of a woman who is bleeding, her monthly bleeding, or she's bleeding due to childbirth. Also, al-Islam, from the conditions of fasting, is that you have to be a Muslim. You have to be upon a tawheed. So any person who fasts and he's doing acts of shirk, the fasting is not accepted from that person. And this is one of the reasons why we have to study at-tawheed. What is the benefit of me teaching you about the virtues of fasting and the benefits of fasting and the rewards of fasting, and yet this person is doing acts of a shirk? Everything which I have taught is of no benefit to this person because he or she is doing acts of a shirk. And even if this person did 100 years of Ramadan, a single fast is not accepted from him. If he prayed 1,000 raka'at in Nawafil and he does acts of shirk, the Nawafil are not accepted from this person. If he did 100 umrahs and 100 hajj, none of this is accepted from him because he did a single act of a shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Then if you commit an act of shirk, then all of your actions become invalid. And this shows us the importance of teaching a tawheed. That even when it comes to fiqh and salah and hajj and umrah, we still have to emphasize a tawheed. Because it is no benefit teaching fiqh to a person and teaching a person how to pray and how to fast and how to perform hajj if they are falling into shirk. None of this will help that person if he dies upon a shirk. So Islam and tawheed is also a condition of fasting. Also, that a child has to be above 7 years old. If he is above 7 years old, then the fasting is valid. And also al-aql, that a person has to have a sound intellect in order for the fast to be accepted from that person.